The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
It's an honor for me to be here today to deliver the charge to my good friend of 47 years. And I think about that very often. 47 years ago, Bill Edgar drove all the way to South Florida, to Miami, to join us, two neophytes learning to do ministry. The culture shock of the heat and humidity of South Florida compared to what he had experienced before, living in an unair-conditioned house with us and our children, and thinking back, remembering that even after he'd done his sermon notes, our daughter would take her color crayons and just draw all over them until they were almost illegible. I think back to that and realize what a kind-hearted, patient, and devoted soul he was to endure that summer together. But it bonded us into a friendship that has lasted through the years. And today, as I think about it, my mind is flooded with many rich and colorful memories of different experiences in the years since then. Those memories only solidify my very high esteem for Dr. William Edgar. His remarkable gifts, unusual background that equip him so well for the high calling he has enthusiastically embraced as a professor here at Westminster. So here I am to give a charge, and I thought, this guy has been a professor for 35 years. How do you give a charge to a guy who's been doing this for 35 years? As a matter of fact, I thought, C.S. Lewis finally became a professor when he moved from Oxford to Cambridge. And I thought, what if somebody had to give a charge to C.S. Lewis? Now, what in the world would you have said? Of course, Lewis himself had to give an address, which he labeled, they asked for a paper. And so he presented his inaugural address, which was later printed under that title, they asked for a paper. And I thought, they asked for a charge. So that's it. Otherwise, how in the world are you going to address a distinguished Westminster professor? Now, I would say probably this really is more an occasion for celebration and praise than for a charge. And I look at it that way, and I'm grateful to be a part of this event today. So with that charge, first of all, I say, be a good steward of the time you have. Probably there is more behind you than there is ahead. I certainly think that of myself. You don't know how much is ahead. That's the problem. But I can tell you this, if you don't take good care of yourself, husband your health, watch your time, be very careful, those days may be shorter than they need to be. As a matter of fact, I thought of Machen, the founder of Westminster and the instrument of so much good. Part of why I'm here today is that legacy. And yet we all know that Machen, to honor a commitment he made, took an ill-timed trip to North Dakota in the winter, was not well. Pneumonia took his life while he was on that trip. He died at 55 years of age. He died a very young man. You think of what might have been done had he been more careful. You see, it's one thing to push yourself and to die, but then you think of the consequences. When Machen died, he left a leadership vacuum. A leadership vacuum for the denomination of which he had helped found, and of this seminary which he had helped found. And the negative consequences of that loss, his death, made a huge difference in the years that followed. And so, I say to you, husband your health. Secondly, good stewardship means you need to allocate your time and energy strategically. You want to have the greatest lasting influence you can possibly have through your teaching, your writing, your speaking, and the impact of your life. It seems to me to be the most effective person you can be in the years that come. You're going to have to be very wise in making decisions about what you will do, where you will speak, what you will write, how you will use your time. So once it's gone, you never get it back. You have learned so much. You've seen so much. You've done so much. You touched so many lives. Now is the time to leverage that and maximize it for the greatest possible influence, and you can't do it unless you approach it strategically. Think every day, every week, every year, how can I be more strategic in using my time and influence for the Lord and the sake of the kingdom? Second, I would say you need to work hard on maximizing your unique contribution to cultural understanding and influence. That's what you just spoke to us about. Westminster acknowledges and has done so in writing that the establishment of theological schools was deemed necessary because, quote, ministers should understand the culture as well as the Word of God, end quote. Now, understanding the Bible, but not the culture, is certainly a deficient foundation for ministry. And I think, as you're aware, seminaries in general have not scored very high marks for helping students understand their culture. Of course, they laud developing biblical worldviews and implementing or following the cultural mandate, but don't seem to know how to do it very well. If there is any professor in an evangelical, much less reformed seminary who's equipped to help others, especially those in ministry, interpret their culture, you stand at the forefront of that group because of your education and your life experience. I charge you to use that effectively, carefully, strategically. Your musical expertise, as we've acknowledged, especially jazz, combined with your many years in Europe, the Labrie connection, and your immersion in the arts in general, set you apart. You've aptly quoted Jeremy Bigby, "Music is a guide for spiritual and theological understanding," adding John Coltrane's assertion that music is a microcosm of life. But as William Romanowski's pointed out in Eyes Wide Open, and you well know, evangelicals have often, with the best of intention, yet negative consequences, unwisely align themselves regarding music. You've been different. I just recently read one of your articles written many years ago on rock and roll, and I was amazed. I wish I had paid more attention to it back then. Some years ago, We became acquainted with H.R. Rookmacher. That was primarily through the LaBrie conferences, and he became a guest in her home several times, and he once told me that you were the best student he ever had, although you were technically never his student. He said, Bill Edgar learned everything I could possibly teach in 6 months. And I thought, my gracious, that is amazing. Well, maybe your affection for the Phillies, the Eagles, and cowboy movies is a more potent factor than would have been realized. And I imagine it would help if you get a better TV. Part of my charge. As I contemplate our weaknesses and making a difference in the culture, especially given the challenges of reaching millennials with their determinative role in our future, I urge you to marshal your resources to provide the leadership and guidance that will help us avoid being marginalized. And finally, your Irenic spirit, evident today, has been a wonderful example during an era of partisanship and polarization. It is so easy for us to disagree, to offend, to become alienated, and find ways to estrange each other. I'm convinced, as you've said, unless we learn to work together with one another as believers, especially in the Reformed community, our influence will continue to decline, and we will be marginalized more than ever. We need a far greater emphasis on building unity, cooperation, and collaboration with a helpful, humble spirit evident among believers. See, the truth of the Bible has not changed, but the times have changed. And with that, the place of Christianity, especially in America. I think you have the ability to find creative ways to address these new circumstances and demonstrate the constructive, wholesome power of the gospel that leads to the good, the true, and the beautiful life of human flourishing. You've said yourself, and it's so evident throughout Christian history, the power of love. Rodney Stark, in his book on early Christianity, talks about was not merely the death of the martyrs, but it was the kindness, it was the compassion, it was the caring of believers for one another, and especially for the pagans, that made all the difference in the world in the way they perceived the Christian faith. In my opinion, it's time, as a matter of fact, it's past time to reset the agenda for how we shall think and live as Christians in our fallen world. And so I charge you, lead the way. We're counting on you. Lead the way. And may God bless you and increase your effectiveness in the years to come.